Now, technology, and we'll talk with Thebzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, with first off some thoughts about other matters of social media and so on. Hate crimes. There's a new view from the Crown Prosecution Service that online abuse should be treated as seriously as face-to-face abuse. Thebzi, good evening.
Good evening. Well, surprising to me, actually, that it isn't already. This idea that, you know, there's a real world and there's the online world, it's not really true. We inhabit an online world in the way that we inhabit this one, and our feelings can be hurt and we can be distressed and disgusted and everything else as much online as we can elsewhere. And if anything, people, when they're online, they tend to be more emboldened, and they tend to do and say things that maybe they wouldn't do to your face but feel brave enough to do it, you know, via relatively anonymous tweet. So the Crown Prosecution Service, when they say the impact of tweeting abuse can be equally devastating as shouting it in someone's face, is absolutely right. And, you know, it's a bit of a shame that they've taken this long to come round to that view, in my opinion.
Yes, it's interesting. The cloak of anonymity is one thing, and also I think there's the thing. Don't get the feedback. You know, if you talk to somebody face to face, you are at several times during the conversation you're assessing their reaction to what you're saying. You see if they frown, you see if they smile, you see if they narrow their eyes in an "I want to kill you" sort of way. And of course, you don't get any of that online. You just, you know, you see people just pour out the words, and if they feel they're not having an effect, they crank it up a bit.
Yes, so emoticons notwithstanding. I liken it a little bit to car drivers, that some people, when they're in their cars, are again emboldened and will use finger gestures and aggressiveness that they wouldn't necessarily use face-to-face. Some would, but again, because they think that there will be no consequences for them. And I think that this change with the CPS's guidance to prosecutors is a good thing. There should be consequences for that. It's no less a crime. And, you know, it sets a tone. And I think they refer to, you know, the recent events in Charlottesville and said that, you know, it showed that what online abuse can lead to. And there's no doubt that, you know, some of what agitates, you know, in life, it can come from online. You know, people think that it's acceptable when they start reading it and no one challenges it. Then it gains some respectability.
Well, we'll see if things change. Other news, Samsung launching the Galaxy Note Phablet, Phablet, on Wednesday. What's a phablet?
Well, it's half phone, half tablet, phablet. The idea is it's like a phone, but with a really big screen. And funnily enough, the definition of phablet keeps having to have a bigger screen because phones keep growing in their screen size. So, well, first of all, you may remember that it was, so this thing's called the Galaxy Note 8 from Samsung, and so the Note series is the phablets with the big screens, and it was the Galaxy Note 7 which was bursting into flames left, right and centre, and therefore this is an important device for Samsung. It's going to be launched in 2 days' time, or announced in 2 days' time, but there have been some leaks. Even Samsung accidentally leaked its details, so it's expected to look a lot like the Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus, which are their flagship smartphones, but it's going to have a, let me see now, what's it going to have? An infinity display, that means an edge-to-edge display, more or less, and it's got a virtual assistant, but it's not going to be called Siri or Alexa, I'm waking them all up as we go, it's going to be called Bixby. Bixby the virtually assistant. It's kind of cute, not threatening. Bixby. You don't think Bixby doesn't sound like he's going to take over the world and kill us all, does he?
No, it's more like.
But you never know.
Dinsdale in the Monty Python. There was a giant.
Doug and Dinsdale. Piranha.
Doug and Dinsdale Piranha. That Dinsdale. Dinsdale. It's interesting. Lesser manufacturers might have got away from the Galaxy name, I think, after the problem with the conflagrating phones. But obviously, they've got confidence.
But I tell you what. Well, first of all, I had a lot of respect for Samsung in the way that they dealt with this, because they put their hands up straight away. They did the right thing. They recalled the units. In fact, even when people were not returning them because they liked them and they hadn't burst into flames so far, so they take a chance, they actually went as far as disabling those phones to stop people using them and refunded them. So they did it the right way, and they learned. But the problem was essentially this, that every generation has a bigger screen, faster processor, it needs more power, therefore needs a bigger battery, but there's not more space. So what was happening with that one was that the innards of the battery was getting closer and closer to the protective sleeving until it could not, you know, they went a little bit too far. And although they didn't manufacture the battery, they did design it. And they you know, they said it was their fault and they dealt with it. And I thought that was, you know, obviously it would have been better had it not happened, but they dealt with it the right way. And believe me, I would imagine their batteries must be amongst the safest in the industry now.
Good crisis management, that's the way. Very briefly, a couple of words on the gadget of the week.
Yeah, so it's a laptop from Dell. It's called the XPS 15. The XPS range is their sort of premium laptop. So this is like their MacBook Pro killer. So it's designed to go up against the top-end Apple laptops, and it's touted as being the world's smallest 15-inch laptop. And you think, well, how can it be a smaller 15-inch? The idea is it's got a 15.6-inch screen, but because it's got, again, what they coin as an infinity edge display, that's to say one without the bezel, the frame is almost nil. Going around it, it fits in the size of what would be about a 14-inch laptop. So it's very small. It's got the latest Intel processors, which are what are called quad-core, so four brains, if you like, doing all the work, so it does more and more quickly. Choice of displays, either touchscreen or not touchscreen. Apple don't offer touchscreens on their Mac computers. And you can have special graphics cards in it, what's called dedicated graphics, so it does better on the graphics. And really nice, as opposed to the Apple stuff, is you can upgrade the RAM memory yourself, and you can upgrade the solid-state drive, which is like the little hard drive inside it. With Apple, that stuff's increasingly soldered into the circuit board, so you can't do it, and they make lots of money by selling those options to you. So I think it's a good deal. It starts at about $1,400 up to $1,850. I think till tomorrow there's a cashback deal on it as well, so people can look out for that. But arguably, the best 15-inch laptop on the market now, I think. So you get what you pay for. But Dell have sort of come full circle. They used to have some excellent machines. They lost their way for a while, and now they've come back in from the wilderness with this.
Thank you, Fevzi Toghal, the Gadget Detective.